from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum in the hour ahead, there is a crowded field of 10 candidates in the Oakland mayor's race to replace outgoing Mayor Ron Dellums. We'll hear about the candidates from a panel of journalists who will help us sort out the race, and we'll hear from the candidates themselves from a recent recorded debate. Where do the candidates stand on police officers and crime, services in schools, attracting businesses, and other major topics that concern Oakland and its future? An hour on the upcoming Oakland's mayor race with your calls and emails after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's forum. There are 10 candidates seeking the replacement of Ron Dellums as the next mayor of the city of Oakland. And in this forum hour, we're going to try to sort out these candidacies, find out not only about the race, but about the candidates. And we've got a couple people here with us in studio who are going to help us do that. Cecily Burt is a reporter for the Oakland Tribune. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And Mathai Kuravilla is a staff writer for the San Francisco Chronicle, who's been following the Oakland mayor's race. And welcome. Good morning to you.
Thank you.
Glad to have you both here. And I think the thing we have to talk about first, this is the first time Alameda County voters will actually be using a runoff voting ranked choice. It's going to be maybe somewhat confusing, and there's a lot of need to educate people on this. So let's talk about it right away. Cecily, maybe you can break it down for us.
Well, the big issue in the race for mayor with ranked choice voting is there's no primary, so there are 10 candidates in the race until the bitter end. And it's likely that most of those candidates will not garner many votes. And so their votes will be discarded and their second and third place votes allocated to other candidates. But I'm not exactly sure that it will make that big of a difference among the top three. If someone can still win the election if they get 50% of the vote outright. And I think that is what Don Prada is hoping to do.
Mathai, you call this a beauty pageant?
Well, what ranked choice voting does is it kind of mutes criticism of other candidates. And what I've seen at the candidate forums is nobody wants to offend the other person's positions necessarily because they're afraid of offending that person's voters. And what I've seen at a number of these forums is just this very tepid criticisms of some things that people say that are questionable at best.
Which makes it even more hard, I think, for voters to really decide on a candidate, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, I think so far all of the candidates could do a better job of explaining what their positions are, even on this era of social media and transparency, their websites, their issues, all of them could be much more specific.
Well, there was a debate, I'll put that in quotes, the League of Women Voters sponsored at the Oakland Chamber of Commerce. It was held on September 23rd, and I thought we'd hear first from the three top polling candidates in the race. Don Prada, of course, was a state senator for 10 years. He was president pro tem of the Senate for the last four of those years, and we've got some recordings here. We're going to get some responses from our in-studio guests, and of course, we're going to bring you into the conversation, but we want to at least give you a sense of what the field is here. And let's hear Don Prada on the subject of leadership.
I believe in political leadership, and I believe that's the single most important thing in Oakland right now. I want to be a mayor for the entire city. We're more than a collection of nice neighborhoods or shopping districts. We've got to stop treating our schools as a foreign nation and embrace them and provide the services, after-school programs, recreation, and libraries that these kids need. And finally, Oakland is a thriving arts and culture mecca. We ought to put our great emphasis as the natural counterbalance and counterweight to the violence that we see in our streets. There's a lot of talent in this city. Bring it out.
Well, there is Don Prada sort of expressing what he's all about in the way of leadership, and he's under fire right now. We might as well mention this, Mathai, because of, fundraising, essentially.
Yeah, he's being criticized for There was a independent expenditure committee, Coalition for a Safer California, which is funded, heavily funded by the same group that pays Parada as a consultant, the California Prison Guards Union. And there's a quirky loophole in Oakland law, Oakland campaign finance law, that if an independent expenditure committee exceeds $95,000, then all campaign limits are waived for the mayoral race.
And lifts the cap on spending.
Basically. Lifts the cap on spending. Yeah. And so this committee that has been working on, you know, attacking Parada's opponents, Gene Kwan and Rebecca Kaplan, has allowed Don Parada to maximize his strength, which is fundraising, and go over. There's essentially no limit. He hasn't broken any law. There's no violation here. But
he's raised enough money that Meg Whitman would spend in an hour, basically, something along those lines. No, I mean, it's put him in a more tenable position. I mean, because money is, of course, the oil of politics.
And, absolutely.
Yeah. Let's hear from City Council member Jean Kwan, who's been criticizing Don Prada on that score. She's the most accessible candidate. She says she's the most accessible candidate. And she has strong city experience. She was on the city council. Let's hear her.
I've helped balance the city budget. I'm the only one on here who has tried to do that and done it and won the consensus. I've taken up very tough and complex issues, whether it was reforming the school district, taking buildings that hadn't been repaired in 20 years and raising over $500 million to repair them and make them safe, or whether it was saving the libraries or breaking a very tough deal on community policing. And more importantly, we need to take on education in the schools. I promised to recruit about 2,000 volunteers to take on our toughest kids, because if the schools don't improve, nothing else will improve in the city either.
Well, we're going to talk about the issues, of course, with these candidates. But Cecily Burt, she's been talking a lot about community policing.
She has been talking a lot about community policing. She was one of the co-authors of Measure Y, which was passed by voters in 2004. And it's a tax that raises about $20 million a year for police, fire services, and violence prevention programs. More recently has made that a platform, saying that the city needs those violent prevention services, and those programs are the ones that actually help bring the crime rate down. So that's a big platform for her.
Of course, there's also this ongoing controversy over how many police officers, with the layoffs of police officers, and Don Prada says essentially we're going to have to cut services or do what we have to do in order to hire police. And Gene Kwan says, let them go. They have to go.
Right. Don Parada has said that he would cut other city employees' departments before he would lay off more police officers. And Gene has taken a hard line with that. She voted to lay off 80 police officers. She's taken a hard line with their pension givebacks. They don't pay into their pensions now. She really feels that they need to renegotiate their pensions, or there's going to be more police cuts come January.
And again, Cecily Burt is a reporter for the Oakland Tribune. Rebecca Kaplan is, well, one of the three that are ahead in the polls. I think we're going in order here. Parada right now, at least it's close, but Parada and Kwan and Kaplan, with Joe Tooman probably running in fourth. Rebecca Kaplan was elected to the city council back in 2008. And at this League of Women Voters debate, she talked a good deal about bringing economic development to the city of Oakland.
I've learned how to cut red tape so that local businesses can thrive and we can attract businesses even when we don't have money to give them. We can save them tens of thousands of dollars by easing permits, like the effort I led in the downtown rezoning. I know that there is money hiding everywhere for essential projects, like the new free Broadway transit shuttle, funded by a grant from the Air District that I helped land for Oakland. There are solutions everywhere. We can enforce local hire and grow our businesses and create the economic backbone that will support the vital services everyone deserves.
Mathai Kuruvilla, in that little speech of Rebecca Kaplan's is the essence of a lot of her platform, business, economics.
Yeah, absolutely. Which when she, at that debate in particular, or that candidate forum, economic development is the issue she puts forth. If you ask her about public safety, she again talks about economic development. It's the core of what she tries to present at in every place. And it's true. She helped advocate for the Broadway shuttle. So, and she did cut red tape for permitting for a number of different types of businesses in downtown, which is another thing she talks quite a bit about.
Both of you have talked to the three leading candidates.
Yes.
And the impression is that those three leading candidates are in kind of a major fight right now, aren't they?
Yes.
I mean, it's sort of tooth and nail, really, isn't it? Yeah.
It's anyone's race at this point. Prada was leading briefly, or I shouldn't say briefly, but he was leading in a more recent poll. But Gene Kwan was very close behind, and Rebecca was third, but she's gaining ground. She has a lot of support, and she has a lot of really innovative ideas that people are grabbing onto, as opposed to Don, who harps on the leadership and the void in the leadership, and Gene, who is more of a policy wonk.
The main differences appear sort of between Parada and Kwan, and they are the two front runners in all the polls. But you know, Parada sees the essential question here is how do you view the city budget within a recession? And Parada sees the city going down to fewer services, and Kwan sees the city whittling down a wide number of services. Now that means, you know, swimming pools are kept open, Parks and Rec is kept open, everything is diminished. Library hours, all the libraries are open, but the hours are diminished. Parada is much more selective, let's say, and he would cut out entire things, and he would because he wants to preserve what he sees as the core, police being highest among that.
Well, public safety is right at the top of the list of concerns for voters in Oakland. It's a paramount issue now, especially with police staffing, and Oakland lost, as we've said, 80 police officers this year. It's slated to possibly lose more than another 100 officers in January, and let's hear from the candidates on this important subject, the three leading candidates. Don Prada says Oakland needs to find the money to bring the force up to 900 officers, and let's hear from Don Prada on this.
During the recession for the last 3 years, we have not cut 80 people in city government other than cops. CETA has 500 employees. Community and economic development. There must be in City Hall enough jobs or positions less important than police officers. The question is whether you're going to have the strength and the commitment to make public safety a priority.
We're not going to get more cops unless we bring the cost per cop down. So Mr. Prada may not have been here, and neither was I, when the contract was passed, but he was in Sacramento when the public safety pensions were set up, and they're unsustainable. The only reason that the crisis is here in Oakland first is because our police give zero contribution to their pension. I want more police officers. I also know that there has to be a balance with violence prevention and intervention programs. If you were to do what Mr. Prada would like us to do and say, okay, we'll just cut programs here and there and there and there. Well, I have to tell you, half of our Parks and Rec staff were cut. We've made 200 other additional cuts. And if you don't have parks and after-school programs, you also don't have a reduction of crime.
All right, that was obviously Gene Kwan, so we heard from both Don Prada and Gene Kwan on how to bring up the force and what to do with the police problem. Here's Rebecca Kaplan with her plans for getting more police.
I would immediately return to the bargaining table with the police union to get the deal for the 9% pension contribution. We should never have laid off the 80 cops. It doesn't even save any money. The officers' union was willing to negotiate a deal for 9% if it included no layoffs. And that could have been achieved by including a departure bonus. Since the most senior people are paid so much more than the most junior people, not only would we have been able to save the officers who are from Oakland, who are the junior most, who are the most recently trained in the new methods we need, and who are the most diverse community of our officers that we just laid off, we would have saved money even paying the more senior people to leave because they're paid so much higher.
Well, we heard Mathai Kuravila, Rebecca Kaplan there talking about Measure Y. These two ballot measures, measures on the ballot, are obviously going to affect pay for Oakland police. How does this all figure into the campaign?
Well, let's go back for a second. All three of them in those statements, they all are playing a bit with the numbers. I mean, Don Parada is saying CETA has 500 employees and we could have cut employees from there and saved police officers. There's less than 4% of the CETA budget comes from the general fund, which is what is paying for the police officers. So he couldn't have you can't get the savings from there. And on the police pension issue, both Kwan and Kaplan, the police pension is a bit of a straw man here. The police are already willing to give their 9%. They're willing to go to a two-tier system with lesser benefits for new hires. But what the police have said is that they want some sort of sustainable budgeting structure. They don't want to go through concessions every year after year because the city can't handle its money. They want to give concessions and they want consistency. And they say that they would get that from Parada. So all three of the candidates here are...
Are doing what candidates do. Yeah.
And Kaplan comes up with this proposal where she says she could have saved the officers, but nobody on the – she was on the city council for that budget vote. She didn't vote for it, but she did not put forth her own proposal at the time. So many people see the proposal as coming a bit late if it's coming now in the campaign season.
How do you see it playing out, Cecily Byrne?
Well, I think it's interesting. It is true that the police officers did agree to pay into their pensions. They've already agreed to pay, I think it's 3% starting in 2013. They were very close in the negotiations to pay 9% into their pension. They wanted some no layoff guarantees. Once that fell apart, the council went ahead with the layoffs. I think that they will actually pay into their pensions. I think that they've seen the writing on the wall, and I think that whoever is mayor will be able to go back and negotiate something. The way it is now, the police officers are saying that they will not pay 9% into their pensions. They've agreed to do that, but they will not do that if these tax measures don't pass.
How's this shaking out, though, in terms of the campaign at this point?
Well, Parada has the backing of the police union, and until recently, he really was kind of vague on this pension issue. He would always say that he didn't think that it was fair to ask any union or any employees to pay into their pension when the city council was not paying into their own pensions, which they don't do.
And again, Cecily Byrd is a reporter of the Oakland Tribune. We're also with Mathai Kuravilla this hour, staff writer for the San Francisco Chronicle, and we'll get you, our listeners, involved. But first, I want to mention Joe Tooman, who is a politics, law, and communication professor at San Francisco State, and been a full disclosure, a colleague of mine there for many, many years, and he's a TV political analyst. And his plan is to grow the police force, like Kaplan's, encouraging early retirement, but he would hire retired police back at less than half time and use the savings to bring in more police. And he says the police force needs to be supersized and advocates for 1,100 to 1,200 officers. Here's Joe Tooman at the debate.
420,000 people in this city right now, after the city council thought it was wise to play political football with your public safety, we have under 700 officers. If those ballot measures fail in November, and I think they might, we'll be down in the mid-500s. So before we even talk about how we replace them, I want you to consider that that's in the mid-500s to support a population of 420,000 people. San Francisco has double our population, four times our police size. You do the math. How safe are we going to be? Why aren't we asking questions about how we got into this?
Well, let's talk about the Tooman candidacy here, because something, maybe he's a dark horse, attractive candidate, good public speaker, politically savvy. What do you think, Cecily Byrd?
Well, I think he is, his star is rising. I think that he has a lot of support and growing support in the hills and down toward the lake area. He is making inroads into other candidates' area. I think he's playing the outsider card. He's not been on the council. He hasn't held elective office. And he points, he's not beholden to anybody. He has fresh ideas. I think.
Excuse me. If you look at the polls, you've got these three candidates
right.
who are sort of at the top, and then you have seven more with Joe at the top of those seven.
Right. You've got Don Prada who's leading, and you have Gene Kwan who's very close. And this was a poll that was done some weeks ago. Rebecca Kaplan then comes down, and then it's Joe Tumen in fourth, fairly distant fourth. I think he would really be a dark horse, but he does have that outsider status. He hasn't been involved in any of these votes. And I think people like that.
What do you think, Mathai?
He is the outsider candidate. And the question becomes, does he actually understand how to run the city? I mean, his supporters were upset with a quote I had from him in a recent story where he said he didn't know what neighborhood service coordinators are. And the reason that's significant is if you had paid any attention to Oakland's budget at all for the past 2 years, neighborhood service coordinators have been a central part of that discussion, but he didn't even know who they were. So
the voters do like, especially in these times, outsider candidates, though, don't they? I mean, especially somebody who can learn on the job, so to speak, which admittedly doesn't exactly speak well necessarily for what political experience is. But, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, right?
Question is he realistic? He says he's going to raise the force to 1,100 people by forcing officers or encouraging them into early retirement with golden handshakes. Well, that's a lot of money you're going to have to shell out. And then he's convinced that he'd be able to hire up to 1,100 officers. I think that's a very popular thing to say, but the question is how realistic it is.
Well, there is another candidate, Green Party candidate Donald McClay, a number of other candidates, but I mean someone who's been getting attention here. He owns and runs a small computer network business in Oakland. And he said that the police cuts have taken a hard hit on the problem-solving officers and the special investigation unit. Let's hear him.
I also say 900 police officers to do what? There are many jobs, from fingerprinting to computer work and all kinds of other things that could be done by civilians. There are some jobs that should be done by civilians, like dealing with our truants.
Having problem like Green candidates do with getting attention here, how viable a candidacy is this?
Not very. And he freely admits that he's still learning many of the issues as well.
Then we've got candidate Arnie Fields, a real estate broker. He thinks the city needs a crackdown on small crimes. Let's hear what he has to say.
People are starting to make the connection between litter and crime. If you could litter in our streets, you could snatch a purse. If you snatch a purse, you could steal a car stereo. If you could steal a car stereo, you could steal a car. You could break in the house. The situation would become very deadly and very violent. Once we start cracking down on litter, the quality of life will change.
Well, again, it's important to hear the voices of a lot of these candidates. They're not necessarily viable when you start getting down below Joe Tumen, at least if you're going according to the polls or the money and so forth. But at this debate sponsored by the League of Women Voters, not all 10 were there. Terrence Kandel was not there, another candidate. And there was a kind of a brouhaha about that, and he showed up in a dashiki. Do I have that right?
I'm not sure about that, but there has been a few brouhahas surrounding Terrence Kandel. He accused Gene Kwan of not inviting him to a press conference that was held in front of City Hall to blast on Parada for so-called buying the election. And he was asked, but I guess there wasn't a follow-up email that was sent to him. So he staged this big rally out in front of City Hall saying that charging racism and so on.
Well, there are a lot of candidates in this. Realtor Larry Lionel Young and Marcy Hodge from Peralta College Trustees. You may want to weigh in on this race, and if you do, we'd like to hear from you. Or if you have questions or comments about the Oakland mayor's race, please join the program. Our toll-free number is available. It's 866-733-6786. Join the program now. Lines are available. 866-733-6786. You can also send an email to forum@kqed.org, or you can post a question or comment on our website simply by going to kqed.org/forum and clicking on this segment. We'll continue with Cecily Bird of the Oakland Tribune and Mathai Kuravilla of the San Francisco Chronicle and your calls and emails and comments on the web and questions when we return on Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. A crowded field of 10 candidates are running to become mayor of Oakland and replace Ron Dellums. We're talking with a couple of veteran and seasoned journalists who've been covering the race, helping us sort out who's who. And we're also hearing from candidates in their own voices that were recorded from a recent mayoral debate. You can imagine what it would be like if we tried to put all 10 candidates in the studio. Well, we couldn't do it. It would be impossible to begin with. Cecily Burt's here. She's a reporter for the Oakland Tribune. And Mathai Kuravilla is staff writer for the San Francisco Chronicle. Before we go to your calls and emails, I thought we would hear some of the other candidates who seem to be unlikely in terms of victory, but nevertheless are in the race and were at the League of Women Voters debate. We're hearing from different candidates in terms of what they would do about the ongoing police crisis in Oakland and the decision to lay off police officers. And here is realtor Larry Lionel Young, the youngest candidate. He's, what, I think 23 years old. He says that Oakland needs to attract more business to the city by taking control of its utilities and lowering costs and by doing a better job of educating the kids. And he says Oakland needs to emphasize education and the trades to make a smarter workforce and keep kids out of trouble. Here's Larry Lionel Young.
We have 156 suspects, according to the Oakland Police Department, in the range of 13 to 18. These young people have nothing to do. Once we start giving them the opportunity to grow, to learn, and to develop, then we'll see Oakland getting closer to accomplishing my vision for Oakland. We already have, according to Ron McNally, some of the best weather year-round. Why can't we harness that sun energy and create our own municipality and give PG&E a run for its money?
And let me hear from, or let us hear from, I should say, a couple more of the candidates who are in the mix here. Entrepreneur Greg Harlan says the city needs to change its anti-business policies.
Anybody that's driven down Broadway, where Broadway Auto Row is, can see the devastation of business in Oakland. You may not know it, but the largest contributor to sales tax revenue is car dealerships. And the reason those car dealerships have gone away is because two things, business tax and sales tax. We have the highest business tax and the highest sales tax, and that drives business away. We also have very bad parking policies.
And one more candidate that we ought to hear the voice of here is Marcy Hodge. She's a Peralta College trustee, and she's talking about, and we're not hearing Terrence Kandel because, as I said, he did not participate in the League of Women Voters debate. He held his own event, and he runs his own education business, and Marcy Hodge is also in education at Peralta. Here's Marcy Hodge.
We need officials who care about Oakland and who will not play political games. We've had enough of that. The actors and key decision makers over the last 12 years have made decisions that have placed us in the predicament we are in today. It's because we've had too many folks who are self-servant and not community-minded.
Okay, we have heard from 9 of the 10 candidates now, and let's hear from you, our listeners. From Oakland, Anna, our first caller. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I'm calling because I am actually an out-of-work high school teacher, so education is very important to me in the city of Oakland, and I was wondering if you were going to discuss the candidates in regards to their education policies.
Well, let's take that on. You know, Jerry Brown said in his debate with Meg Whitman that when he was mayor of Oakland, there wasn't a whole lot other than charter schools and a few other things he could do about education in Oakland, but it's an ongoing great concern to the people of Oakland. How does its election stack up in terms of the candidates in education, Cecily Byrne?
Well, Jean Kwan has put herself out there as the education candidate. She served on the school board. She is part of her platform for growing jobs is to work with kids in the schools, give them internship opportunities and job training opportunities. Larry Lionel Young, who we just heard from, is very big on education and partnering with the schools to keep kids out of trouble, give them opportunities. It's a big issue, and many of the candidates have talked about how they would partner with the schools to try and provide educational opportunities and job training opportunities. The problem is that the school systems budget problems are legion and are legend, and so
legion
are
and
cities.
Legend. Yeah, that's so. A good way to describe it. Yeah, you want to weigh in on this, Mathai?
No, I think that was good.
Good. Then let me take some more of your calls, and we'll go to Vic in Oakland. Hi, Vic.
Morning, Michael and guests. Longtime resident of Oakland. Oakland has some really draconian taxes, like essentially sales tax on utilities, telephone, probably satellite TV, and it hits business very hard. And I've had friends that had businesses in Oakland that went to really expensive places like Lafayette from Oakland and wind up spending less money. And the other note was, I understand that the police and fire pensions, no, the police and fire expenses, including pensions and everything, is more than 75% of Oakland's budget. And so it seems incompetent to me to allow that to happen. And it also seems almost impossible to get out of it without big concessions.
Mathai?
The police and fire budgets are now around 65% because they voted in June to lay off, reduce the size of the force. But yes, it's a huge part of the budget issue in Oakland. But it's a balancing act. The police union doesn't trust the city council and the mayor to deliver a consistent budget, and the city council is pushing back.
Let me go to some of our listener emails and comments. Actually, here's an email from Gene Kwan who says, didn't vote to lay off officers outright, voted to have them pay the same 9% of the pension costs that other police unions pay. That would have avoided the 80 layoffs. The OPOA refused to even take this to their members for a vote.
True.
And here's Max who says, first of all, I'm really glad you got Mathai on today. He's bar none the best journalist writing hard news about Oakland today. This is your brother, Max. No, I'm sorry. Second, I want to take a moment in a race that has degenerated into mudslinging to say something positive. Rebecca Kaplan is terrific. She's got more energy than anyone else involved in Oakland politics today. She works harder and sleeps less than most of her peers. Most importantly, in a town prone to polarizing politics, she's been a uniter since her first day on the council. She's been inside City Hall for long enough to learn what's going wrong there. She hasn't been there long enough to get sucked into the mess. She can fix our broken government, and that's why she has my strong support in her race for mayor. And Gabriel says, is it true, as posted on the Grand Lake Theater marquee, that all current city council members, including Rebecca Kaplan, voted to extend parking meter enforcement until 8 p.m.? I know Gene Kwan supported it. This policy was a disaster for our shopping districts. Mathai?
I don't remember if all of them did, but it was part of the budget. I don't remember exactly who was on, but Kwan was one of those that voted for it. And Kaplan may have been too. I don't remember.
They rescinded that?
But they did rescind it.
They did rescind it, yeah. Here's Jennifer who says, how did the city's finances get so bad that we had to lay off so many police officers? Don't we have a reserve fund to carry us through economic downturns?
Well, they do have a small reserve fund, and I think they've dipped into that reserve fund. And most of them are blaming the drop in revenues that are hitting every city, the real estate transfer taxes and a number of other issues that have really, really, really caused most of the problems in the declining revenue.
I mean, just to add on that, I mean, the United States, I think the Rockefeller Institute did a study. This is the longest and deepest decline in tax revenues for local governments in recorded history, which they went back 60 years. So it's not like Oakland is special. This is hitting everywhere. Santa Rosa is turning off traffic lights. San Carlos disbanded its police department. I mean, these issues are hitting every city in different ways.
And very few of them have much in the way of rainy day funds anymore, actually. Here's an email from West Oakland. Listener says there was a lot of heat at the mayoral forum. Harlan, Fields, and Kandel directly criticized the incumbent candidates on the records, especially Kwan. And Michelle from Oakland writes, I don't know if either of you have the answer to this, but do you know the impact of social media on this local election? Because Rebecca Kaplan apparently has nearly 2,000 Facebook fans.
Social media is a big issue if you're hooked into social media, if you're on Facebook. Don Parada has had a Facebook page for a very long time. Rebecca Kaplan. There's a lot of bloggers and alternative press that's covering the race very closely. So that is a factor, but also is, you know, walking door to door, knocking on door to door as Gene Kwan is doing. So it's...
And what about Prada going out to these cleanup things?
He's been doing that, I think, every Saturday or almost every Saturday for months. But Don Parada, actually, even when he was in Sacramento, would come to town from time to time and do lots of things in the communities in West Oakland and East Oakland. And so it isn't that unusual that he's back here now But it is he's making his presence known. He's actually out there sweeping up the dirt.
And sweeping up the dirt, the FBI investigation is behind him now, pretty much?
As far as we know, it is. And so
more calls. Hugh, join us. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. First, I wanted to mention that Oakland is very diverse, so of course it'll be important for the next mayor to be able to appeal to a diverse population. And also point out that many of the Oakland public schools on the slopes and in the hills are as good as Albany or Orinda, believe it or not. But what I wanted to ask the candidates are how they are planning to grow the middle class and the middle class tax base to help pay for the services that benefit everybody in Oakland, including the poor.
How do the candidates come down on that? We were talking earlier about how Rebecca Kaplan is particularly emphasizing economics and small entrepreneurship.
Right. Rebecca, in particular, also Joe Tooman has come out with a plan. He had a consultant prepare a retail study for him, and he's promising to go out and knock on the doors of every Nordstrom and large department store to try and bring them into Oakland. Of course, as we all know, Oakland hasn't been able to do that for decades. But they've all got that platform of going out and getting new businesses and trying to bring in new sales tax revenue.
We'll bring in more of our callers. We'll go to David in San Francisco. Hi, David.
Hi there. Good morning. I'm just curious why we don't hear from Mr. De La Fuentes. I've known him for a long time. He's one of the smartest guys I've ever met.
Has Ignacio De La Fuente come out for any candidate?
Parada.
He has come out for Parada, yeah.
Yeah.
Why isn't he running? I think David wants to know.
I think he's not running because Parada's running. And, you know, there's another issue there. There's no Latino candidate. And, you know, Oakland has a large Latino population. And it's from a question of diversity, I think it's striking that there isn't one. And you have a very powerful force on the council, Ignacio De La Fuente, who's not running. So it's striking.
Thank you, David. On we go. And Colin joins us. Good morning, Colin.
Good morning. It doesn't sound like any of the current crop of candidates are facing facts and telling the voters that they're going to have to accept some additional tax increases. Am I missing something here?
It's not a very popular thing to say at a candidate forum that I want new taxes. And so Jean Kwan and you know, she once supported the parcel tax, and now she says she does not. She now also says that she never supported it. The candidates avoid talking about taxes. They avoid talking about cuts. Joe Tooman says he'll have to wait until January to define what cuts he'll make. Parada has come out with some cuts, but some of them are questionable, whether they're realistic, and he also says he's going to do an audit. Rebecca Kaplan doesn't talk about cuts very much at all. These are things that Oakland voters are going to have to face, but they're just not popular things to campaign on.
What about the fact that both Jean Kwan and Rebecca Kaplan were accused by the police of interference in the protest over the Meserly tragedy, murder, whatever you want to call it, either would fit, I think. Has that played into this campaign? Does it play into this campaign? Because it's police are such a big issue.
I don't think it's played into this campaign. I think they were accused of doing that. They're being investigated supposedly by the district attorney's office for doing that. But I don't think it's played a major role in this election.
Again, Cecily Bird is a reporter for the Oakland Tribune, and Mathai Kuravilla is staff writer for the San Francisco Chronicle. In the time remaining, if you'd like to put in your two cents about the Oakland mayor's race, we welcome your calls. Our toll-free number is 866-733-6786. You can also send an email to forum@kqed.org or post a question or comment on our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment. Another Oakland caller, Michael, joins us. Hi, Michael.
Hi, how you doing? I have a question here that I think really underlies a big problem here in Oakland that I think every mayor struggled with, is really the ineffectiveness of the city council and the way the city government's set up right now as far as the governance of the city council, that regardless of what any mayor comes in and wants to do, they're always strangled by the city council. And I'm curious to hear what the candidates would do to address working with the city council and really overhauling Oakland's government to be a little more effective.
Mathai, what do we hear from the candidates on that?
You know, that Jean Kwan, you know, people criticize her for pushing forward budgets. And she, one of the things she points that she makes, which is very valid, is, well, I've actually put forward budgets. You know, Rebecca Kaplan did not put forward her own budget proposal. And that's one of the ways that Kaplan is, I mean, one of the ways that Kwan is trying to distinguish herself is she is able to form consensus and pass things through the city council. Parada offers his own form of leadership, and he says he'll be able to sway the council. I mean, the leadership is a huge issue, and who's able to build it, it will play a defining factor. I mean, Kaplan, it should be noted, on some defining issues, such as taxing marijuana in Oakland on the latest round that came before the council. Her proposal she actually did not vote for it because other Ignacio de la Fuente claimed it and shaped it in a way that he liked, and it was actually his proposal. So who's able to actually lead the council will be a huge factor.
Well, the council also, I'm reminded when you're talking about leadership with the council, the fact that Don Prada has presented himself as not only the candidate who can best fill the void that was really a void under the leadership of Ron Dellums, but who can go to Sacramento and get things done there in the way that Dellums, I mean, one of the accomplishments Dellums had the years he spent as mayor, which have come under severe criticism, was that he brought money back from Washington. And essentially Don Prada is saying the same thing at a time when not too many people are bringing money back from Sacramento. Brings up another question, actually, Cecily Bird. I was reading in the Tribune a piece, actually, I think that you did, about how this is an election where, because of its rank voting, every vote really counts.
It does count. And although the first place votes, of course, are, I'm sure all the candidates are hoping to win outright, the fact that people can vote for their second and third choice candidates means that the different candidates can go out and lobby for their second and third place votes. And if no one wins outright, then those second and third place votes really do count.
Here's a listener who describes himself or herself as a firmly undecided voter who says, I agree that the Oakland Police Officers Association sees the writing on the wall, but if Jean Kwan is elected mayor, they will continue to delay the inevitable. For any city to function, you need a police department and mayor that can work effectively. And while that Jean Kwan clip was dead on, I don't think she has the effectiveness to get the deal done. Don Prada doesn't know what he's talking about with redevelopment, but he probably has the pull to get the deal done with the police officers. Separately, Greg Harlan missed the boat on Otto Rowe. And Shoshana from Berkeley says, I've heard Rebecca Kaplan talk about economic development and cutting red tape for small business as a way to reduce crime. I think this is a very interesting take on the issue. Could the guest talk about her policies with more specificity and what the other candidates say about this?
What was the question again? Sorry.
It's about Rebecca Kaplan's, what she's saying specifically about business and cutting red tape to reduce crime.
Right. That's really a big platform of hers that looking at the growing new business as a way to sort of solve many of Oakland's ills. And there, a lot of the other candidates are saying that. Joe Tooman, again, is talking about bringing in new revenue, and then that will help pay for more police officers. It will give people jobs. Nearly every candidate is talking about bringing in new sources of revenue and as a way to fight crime. And
it's almost boilerplate, but Kaplan has been much more.
She's really been out there. She did work on zoning changes that allow smaller businesses to come in without going through this really onerous red tape. She's also talking about trying to change the permitting process. Right now, it's very difficult to get things done. Some things require conditional use permits where they have to come in and go through the planning commissions. So she's really talking about trying to make the city much more business friendly. But to be fair, many of the other ones are as well.
Well, here's another listener, Zoe, who says, having heard the debate, it's clear that Kaplan has the blueprint that Oakland needs right now. Her intellect, analytic prowess outshines the rest of the contenders. She has delivered visible results in Oakland in her tenure as city councilwoman at large, and we will expect that from her as our next mayor of Oakland. Above reproach, with strength and character and integrity, Kaplan brings us hope for a better Oakland. I believe in her plan for a healthy, safe, and prosperous Oakland. Kaplan's people are writing in today. and let's go to more of your calls. Joyce, good morning.
Good morning. I'm wondering how the election may play out if large numbers of voters don't designate a second choice.
I think that would be unfortunate. Just ranked choice voting is really interesting, and it's really important in this election. The last poll that was done by phone was the Oakland Chamber of Commerce poll. In that poll, Parada had 26% of the vote. Kwan had 22%. The way that ranked choice voting goes is, and that's after all the first place votes are counted. Then you start eliminating the 10th place candidate, and his second place votes get distributed. Parada didn't have more than 50%, even with only Parada, Kwan, and Kaplan. It took the elimination of Kaplan to finally put him over 50%. So all I'm saying is the second place vote really matters in this election, it will play a huge role. That said, in San Francisco and supervisors' races, first place vote almost always won. The only exception was Ed Jew.
Let me thank the caller. On we go. James, join us. Hi.
Hi. Pleasure. Thank you very much. There's a Tribune, a New York Times article yesterday, stating that some 338 cities are in the same position as Oakland, laying off, closing services, laying off police and firemen. So this is not peculiar to Oakland. And with the police and fire taking up some 72% of the budget, it's not going to be easy to just cut services. A lot of the candidates have become proficient in putting out sound bites.
A lot of this is the result of years of short-term budgeting. I mean, you got a structural deficit in Oakland. It's really staggering. I'm sorry, James. Please go ahead.
Yeah, it's certainly true, but the fact that there is the budget that they have, it's not going to be solved by Band-Aid approaches, and a lot of the candidates have become proficient in putting out sound bites. But those sound bites don't really get at the problem. When you look at somebody who has really done something, Gene Kwan has turned around her District 4 with economic development, getting rid of drug houses and forming community organizations. She's really been a person on the ground doing things. None of the other candidates have any such record that even comes close.
Okay. Thank you for the call. Anybody want to comment here? Cecily or Mathai?
Well, it's true that Jean has done quite a bit for her district. She's very visible in her district. She's helped keep, her literature says she's helped keep Butters Canyon open from development. She's out there all the time. To be fair, she's also been the longest on the council of the candidates, and Parada's not on the council. Rebecca's the at-large candidate. She is doing a lot of stuff downtown, really has a lot of innovative ideas for downtown. She helped bring that new free Broadway shuttle down there with the zoning changes to make it more business friendly. She's also been a big booster for these licensings of the marijuana cultivation facility. She has a lot of very innovative ideas that are going to help the city as a whole. So
we should mention, though, when we're talking about spending and the economic travails in Oakland, that both Kaplan and Kwan tried to put ceilings on spending and failed. Just for the record. We'll go to more of our callers. We're going to go to San Jose. Mark, join us.
Hi. Thank you, Michael. Not being a Bay Area native and having observed a couple of election cycles, Oakland politics seems much like California politics, a very difficult city to manage for many reasons. But I'm wondering what your panel's opinion is of who has an effective mayor in Oakland history and what were some of their characteristics, and do any of these candidates share some of those characteristics?
I don't know that answer, actually.
good pause there.
but You know, Oakland is facing this is a very particular point in time. It's the largest recession since the Great Depression. There's a huge economic crisis going on right now, and I'm not sure that recent memory of mayors is necessarily what the blueprint needs to be for the next one.
I will say also that when Jerry Brown was mayor, and don't forget that the strong mayor form of government was changed when Jerry Brown came in. People supported that for Jerry Brown. They saw him as a strong leader, and they were willing to change that. So now that we have Ron Dellums and we don't really have that strong leader, the whole system is faltering somewhat. And just also, you know, this is cyclical.
I might even be apt to say that when Ron Dellums was mayor, he didn't have a leader, really. I mean,
right.
He was absent. He was
some would say that he was working behind the scenes. But then the other issue is, though, these problems with the budget, although they're so widespread with what everyone is going through in the state budget and just the horrible economic times. But when Jerry Brown took office, there was problems with police funding then, too. Don't forget that he proposed that a ballot measure, a tax to pay for 100 police officers, which failed at the poll. So there was budget crisis then. Of course, it was followed by some really boom times.
Let me thank the caller. And Ron, let's get you on here with little time left. Go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to hear the panel's observations about the business proposals. One I heard from Joe Tooman was to advocate for retail in a really high-profile way, and it mirrors back to what Mayor Brown did with housing, and whether any other panelists have a serious proposal like that.
Anything like that come to mind?
Well,
Cecily Burt?
I heard recently, I did hear Joe Tooman talk about this retail study and how he would really go out door to door, and he was dissatisfied with the leadership in the city and how they really haven't gone and tried to convince big retailers to come here. Which isn't true. They've been working seriously for decades to try and get big retailers to come, and also spent quite a bit of money of their own on a retail study. Rebecca Kaplan has promised to go out and knock on doors of CEOs of Nordstrom and Macy's and so on, and she says that she's already been doing that.
Well, this brings the hour to a close. It's going to be fascinating to watch how it all turns out. Thank you so much, both of you, for being with us. Cecily Burt, again, is reporter of the Oakland Tribune. Mathai Kuruvilla is staff writer for the San Francisco Chronicle. Appreciate your expertise from both of you, and appreciate you, our listeners. We wouldn't be here without you. We're here with you Monday through Friday, 9 to 11, an hour repeated, 10 to 11 in the evening. Thanks to our senior editor, Dan Zoll, our producers, Kevin Guillory and Judy Campbell. Our engineer is Danny Bringer. Our executive producer is Raul Ramirez. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg.